And good morning, Nashville. This is Nick Frazier, Dr. Crane, on the Chase and Big Joe show as everybody gets settled in alongside Nick Keyser. Nick, how are we doing, sir?
Good morning. Yeah, we got a lot of football to talk about. We got NFL draft. We've got a lot of Nashville Cats action for you here this morning as Chase and Big Joe continue to get set up over there at Lipscomb. So, yeah, man, we have our force company, and now it's you and I rocking this morning before the suit comes on air. So, yeah, we're going to just ride until they're ready to go.
Indeed, ride on a Tuesday morning. A Preds game day as well, Nick.
Yes, and I'm going to be going home to take a nap. So
yeah, I'm with you on that. It's going to be a long day, especially if you wake up early, as a lot of people do around here, and you go up until about, what, 1 in the morning? It's Vancouver 9 p.m. Puck drop.
I mean, luckily, game one ended around like 11:40-ish, I want to say. So I was in bed before midnight, which was nice. I can take the 10-foot walk to my bedroom, so that's always nice.
Yeah, that is nice. I think I'll be doing that tonight, especially.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, as for everything else around here, Nashville Cats, they got their practice going on over at Lipscomb today.
Yeah, I'm excited for this because we're the flagship for them, and Eli Gold, you know, the famous voice. It's so cool to have a guy like that with our station, Frazier. I'm so excited for that, but also the ties that we have back to good old Jeff Fisher. He'll be joining us later in the program as well. I don't know what time at some point, but maybe not. So
I don't believe so today.
Not today.
I'm not sure. Still getting the schedules all situated out today.
I would love to. I would love to see that. So, but I saw Joe's teaser earlier this morning. So maybe not. Maybe not. I have no idea.
I don't know how else to put this, but with Big Joe, you never know what's going to come out.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Maybe sometimes he's kind of leading you on just for a good little tidbit there, or if he's, I don't know. It's an open book.
It's not an open book.
It's a mystery box. Excuse me, a mystery box.
It is.
There we go. Yeah.
And especially when he writes his next mini book as well. So
yeah.
Looking forward to seeing what that always looks like as well with Big Joe on the go.
Exactly.
So, but anywho, yeah, looking forward to the Preds game tonight. I mean, we could talk a little bit more about that because I know that Robbie and Joe were kind of just previewing that as well for the last hour. So Adam Vingan joined as well. So if you want to check that out, go to Robbie and Rextra podcast anywhere that you go get that. But look, I think for the Preds tonight, it's a big challenge, Frazier. You know, they had a struggle in game one. You know, none of their big players showed up, but UC Saros struggled mightily at times. And look, being screened as short as he is, that's rough. And not making the saves is rough. So I'm wondering what kind of response they'll have here this evening. Now, we talked about X factors on Force Company on Saturday. Who has to be the biggest X factor in your book, Frazier?
Tonight?
Yes.
I mean, Luke Evangelista had a really good game one. If it's that, I would have to say Philip Forsberg. It was just the lackluster performance in game one. I feel like there has to be a little step up for him due to the fact that, you know, having 48 goals and leading the franchise with that record, you kind of have to show a little bit more from your star goal scorer.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. And that's a good place to start. And I think looking at the top line as well, the struggle was getting shots on net, the effective shots on net. And I thought that Gus Nyquist looked pretty invisible as well. Ryan O'Reilly, yeah, he got the power play goal. The power play was 1-for-4 in case you missed it. So that's going to be another aspect that wins you a game. And so more importantly, if the Predators get more special teams opportunities, how can they improve on that moving forward as a team? And they didn't practice yesterday, which I found very interesting. Andrew Burnett kind of said that he wanted them to get out and about and not be at the rink at Rogers Arena. So that was an interesting point of view. But the Preds have kind of done that on road trips this season. So that's not too shocking. That's not a huge headline. Just give the guys a break. They're in a beautiful Vancouver, which I will also be there in the next month or so for my honeymoon. So I'm looking forward to that. So, but yeah, this is going to be a fun one tonight. And Vancouver, they got a lot of firepower too. So I don't know how much of that game you watched. I know that you were working that game. Did anyone stand out to you on Vancouver?
You know, the good thing that I liked about from the Preds' perspective is that, like, they kind of stopped Quinn Hughes for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, yes, he had a goal.
He scored,
but,
yeah.
I mean, if you look at the totality of the game, it wasn't really much of a factor. You know what I mean? Obviously, Dakota Joshua had his two goals, but things that kind of stick out for me for Vancouver is the fact that the puck possession was kind of almost even, but the fact that, you know, that home crowd environment kind of gives you that extra oomph. And so hopefully that's not much of a factor tonight. Hopefully the Preds can kind of score one or two goals early and kind of pacify the noise in there. But It's going to be a testy game for sure.
Yeah, it really will be. And I want to see who they start as well. You know, the Predators usually give that fourth line a go to kind of set the tone for what they want to have for the whole evening as well. And so I was glad to see that Andrew Brunette relied on that line yet again to do something special. And I think that's going to be a mismatch. You know, they kind of unintentionally did that on Vancouver's side, because JT Miller up against Michael McCarron is not something I would have thought ever about for a playoff series going up against each other in the first few minutes of a game. But look, I think if you can put that top line versus top line, I would like to see that personally, just this one game, to see how it works. If it doesn't work, go back to what you were doing. But I really thought, despite some of these guys not looking good stat-wise, I thought that Kiefer Sherwood, honestly, great, great spark plug of a hockey player. Phenomenal guy. But I also thought as well, they need to do a little bit more. They were out-physicaled, I would say, or they were just out-hit in that first game. Vancouver looked a little bit more aggressive in that one. So how can the Predators shift the tide before they come back home for two huge games?
Yeah, and you mentioned something there about just, you know, not being really good statistically for the first game. I kind of want to get your thoughts on Ryan McDonagh. What did you see from him?
I'll tell you what, Ryan is always a stout defenseman. He's not going to be as lost as somebody would make it out to be when he makes a mistake. He's one of the quickest guys to get back in position. He is such a solid guy. And I think in the postseason, now he's played 186 playoff games, folks. He's got plenty of experience, and he'll probably be number one at some point here in the next year or so when Corey Perry retires or just doesn't make the postseason anymore. But that's active number for sure. Now, for Ryan's sake, the best way to talk about what he did the best in game one, I mean, he was just a basically good defenseman. You know, he was just stout in front of his net. I think he was able to kind of direct the play. And I'm sure on the bench, he was a voice. And when you're a voice on the bench with guys that have not played, you know, Tommy Novak, Luke Evangelista, you've also got, you know, a couple of other faces as well. He didn't play, but Kevin Lankinen's another guy that's new as well. So I know that Kevin and UC kind of bounce off of each other too, for no matter what kind of game it is, when they talk about what they're seeing in front of each other. But yeah, and I have to point this out as well. It's tough. The Preds, they've not ever won a series after losing the first game. Can they rewrite history? Over at thegamenashville.com, I had a story yesterday. But look, it's going to be interesting to see how they can turn that around. But McDonagh is a huge factor, Frazier.
And another thing is mentioned, you know, the goaltending, Lankinen and Saros. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got to roll back in game two with Saros, because if you don't, it's more of like a confidence kind of factor at that point, right? You have to roll with your main guy, even though, you know, Vancouver's tactic has kind of been screening in front of the net. And now, with this all being said, if he doesn't have a good performance tonight, meaning Saros, do you roll with Lankinen in game three?
No, you don't. I think you've got to lean on Saros as long as possible. I mean, I had somebody say to me on Twitter yesterday, go to Lankinen, or Lankinen, I think is how they spelled it, which is pretty funny. But regardless, no, you don't go to Kevin. You know, I had that thought in my head long term. Would they maybe go to him? He's reliable. He's good. The Preds did give him a start against the Canucks earlier this season, but I would not anticipate that. I wouldn't even think about it too much longer. I wouldn't even put too much air on that as well, or exhaust my thoughts on that, just because Kevin's good. But I think UC, like we talked about last hour on Robbie and Rex Road, it's a matter of, if you're going to pay Saros, he's got to step up for you. And that's the way you have to look at it. He's got to play those games, Frazier. It's as simple as that.
Okay, well, hey, we are off and running here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, it's 615-737-1025. The phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will be back here in a little bit on the Chase and Big Joe Show, and stick around.
Finally, showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. A little late, sorry about that, but, you know, sometimes things go wrong. Chase McCabe at Lipscomb Academy, the Nashville Cats training camp. Joe Dubin is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing Studios, and will be on in just a second as the Cats are getting ready for their opener, the reboot of the Cats, coming up Saturday night at Municipal Auditorium. So looking forward to that. We'll be talking to different people involved in the Cats organization, also getting you set for game number two between the Predators and the Vancouver Canucks later tonight. Another late start, 9 o'clock start. Then, of course, we'll have extended pregame coverage beginning at 6 o'clock with Max Herz, and I'll also be jumping in as well. So 3 hours to get you set for puck drop, and looking forward to that. Big Joe, is he there yet?
He is here. He is getting settled in as we speak.
Okay. Okay, he can get settled. That's fine. My bad. Little crazy, but hey, you know what? It's always crazy on the Chase and Big Joe show. Nothing new there. But the Predators look to bounce back after a game one loss to Vancouver. And, you know, I've heard all the analysis over the past, 48 hours or so, and since the end of the game, and what coaches have said. They didn't practice yesterday. And I got to tell you, I don't have an issue with that. It was a hard fought game on a Sunday night. And the fact that they decided to not practice yesterday, I'm not going to make a big deal out of that. I know how intense the playoffs can be, this time of year, and so that's what the coaches decided and decided not to practice and just kind of rest up for tonight. They know what they need to do. I don't think there's anything they can do and get on the practice rink that's going to change anything. That they know what they need to do tonight against Vancouver, and so they will do just that when they hit the ice for game number two. The big thing for me is Juuse Saros. I didn't think he played a good game the other night. He has to have a bounce back, and I think he will. I mean, we've seen that before. You got to see more out of Yossi. You got to see more out of Forsberg. All those things that have been said over and over again, and I believe that will certainly be the case. So we'll get into a lot of that as we go along on this Tuesday. The draft just 2 days away. Nothing's really changed there, but we will hopefully. I'm ready for the draft to come and go, as all of us are. But
be here before you know it, Chaser. Be here before you know it.
A fun weekend. I know. Hi, Joe.
Hey, pal. How are we today?
How are you?
Good, man.
Oh, hanging in there.
Oh, I just did my tour of kind of south and east Nashville on the traffic. Y'all be safe out there, because it's another crazy day on the Nashville roadways.
Well, it always is. That's the life of living in Nashville, Tennessee. And but I'm impressed that you made it in about 15 minutes.
You are.
I saw you
so welcome
about 20 minutes ago. And
Yeah, not so bad. Got through all the red lights and got here to the station, and man, it's a beautiful day.
It is indeed. It is indeed. So what's kind of your thoughts? Game two tonight, you've had a day to reset. They didn't practice yesterday, and some people might make a big deal of that the Preds weren't on the ice. But as I was just saying, I don't know if you're really going to change much by going out for one day of practice. I think just getting your head right, having a rest day is not a bad idea.
I completely agree with you. You can watch the film, see what you did wrong. I mean, all those things like that. Bottom line is, come out tonight mad. Come out tonight angry. Come out tonight desperate. We've talked to hockey coaches throughout the years, and they said the worst kind of hockey team to face is a desperate hockey team. Be desperate tonight and just go crazy and go out there and know that your back is so against the wall. And I know it's not the most important critical game, but, in the playoffs, these things are important. So, still one tonight, come back here Friday 1-1, but go out tonight angry. Go out tonight desperate. Do things you haven't done before and play at another level. I know it's easier said than done as I sit here overweight in the 102.5 The Game studio, but just go out there and play angry tonight and try to steal one and come back here. And, man, if they steal one tonight, Chase, or come back here Friday, I mean, Bridgestone's going to go crazy anyway. But if they come back here Friday night,
right,
and it's 1-1, it'll be at another level and people will lose their minds again. So just concentrate about tonight, win the game, get back here Friday.
Yeah, it's a whole different series if you're coming back to Nashville tied at 1. And, I know that there's no comparison. The 2011 team and this team are completely different, but that's what happened in 2011. They – had a tough-fought game, lost game one, needed two overtimes in game two, and then tied the series up and came back to Nashville. it can certainly happen that way this time around. And, you know, the key is going to be UC Soros. And everybody's, you know, over-analyzed UC Soros. And, you know, is this going to, you know, how he does in this series, is this going to affect Barry Trotz and his decision and, you know, what he does moving forward if he wants to go to Askarov and trade Soros or re-sign Soros long-term? They're not thinking about any of that. Like, that is the furthest thing from anyone's mind in that organization right now, because all Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett are focused on in UC Soros is winning game two tonight. And so that's what happens, you know, in a playoff series when there's so much anticipation. The first game finally happens. The result isn't what anybody around here wanted. And then we spend 2 days overanalyzing, going, oh, it's the end of the world. What are they going to do? Oh, it's the Soros era is coming to an end. That's not it. It's like you just said, go in angry. And I love that. Go in pissed off. Look in the mirror. I use this analogy all the time. Look in the mirror, envision that you got blood coming down your lip because you got sucker punched in the mouth.
Good Lord.
In the first game. Be pissed off. And go in and do to them what they did to you in game one.
I agree. Also, if you lose tonight, be upset. I mean, but it's not over. I mean, it's not, remember, it's not a game, you know, the best of two. I mean, it's the best of seven. So just concentrate on tonight. Go out there and get it done. If you lose, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, now the pressure is still, you know, the pressure's on anyway because you're in the playoffs. But when you come back here Friday and Sunday, if you're down 0-2, well, you know what you got to do. You got to win two to stay alive. I mean, it's that simple of a process. But tonight, just go out there, get the one tonight, and come back here for Friday.
Yes, indeed. So that will be on. we'll have that coverage for you with Max Herz beginning at 6 o'clock. I need to laugh right now.
Right. Thank you, yeah. Judge. Yeah. Yes, indeed. I'm delirious because of national traffic, so I'm good right now. Chase, where are you, buddy? Yeah. I don't seem to see you in the studio.
Yeah, I'm at Lipscomb. I'm at Lipscomb Academy. They're a beautiful facility that they have here. I'm in the coach's office right now.
Okay.
So I am sitting, staring out at the football field we'll get a lot of action on Friday nights, but this is where the Nashville Cats hold their training camp and their practices and everything. So they'll be out for practice here in a little bit and looking forward to that. And
let me ask,
we'll talk to some people from the Cats.
Has Lipscomb burned everything regarding Trent Dilfer at that campus? I hope. If not, I'll come over there and help them burn anything else that Trent Dilfer left behind.
You know, I have not seen anything with him on it. So
okay.
I would say yes.
All right, well, good.
I would say that they have done that.
If you find, like, a little notepad with his name on it, let me know, and I'll come over there and help Lipscomb burn that thing as well. So glad that jackass is gone.
Tell us how you really feel.
I can't stand him. I can't stand him. I can't stand him.
Yeah. What was there one particular thing that set you off, or was it just
I went to do a story on the football team. You know, high school football coaches in Middle Tennessee are fantastic. They're all fantastic, and you and I know about 98% of them. So if we want to do a story on them, we call them up a day before and say, hey, coach, yep, we're going to come out. You know, when I worked in TV, stop by, and they're like, hey, yeah, we love to have you. Come out here. I can't wait to see you. All of them. All of them. There's only been one high school football coach who told me to go through his personal PR, and that was Trent Dilfer. And I said, oh, okay, whatever. I'll play a little game. And then I called his PR, and I said, hey, I'm going to come over tomorrow. And she's like, well, tomorrow's not a good day, and the day after is not a good day. And I said, I'm coming by to get a quick interview, shoot some B-roll to practice, and I'm done. It's going to take literally 15 minutes. She says, oh, I don't know if he has 15 minutes. So I called him.
My goodness.
I said, I'm coming by. He's like, well, you got to clear it with PR. I said, no, I'm coming by. I went to practice the next day, walked on the field, grabbed him, did an interview. He didn't know who I was, which was fine. Nothing was brought up, and I got my interview and walked out of there. But he was treating it like it was an NFL camp. Now, I'm not saying you got to, like, you know, bend over, here comes TV around. But I'm there to give you coverage and see how things are going. And, you know, it was a nice story at the time. And the fact that you're sitting there having to run through your personal PR – I don't. What about the school's PR? Then I knew. I said, you know what? He might win a couple championships, but this isn't going to end well. And it didn't end well. And now a lot of Lipscomb people are like, we love Dilfer. Now you can't find one single player family who says they love Trent Dilfer. Now there might be one who'll call in and say, wait. But I'm telling you, they all did a 180 when that guy skedaddled out of town. That's why I don't like Trent Dilfer.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's well documented what happened after that. But,
yeah, well, I mean, they got a coach now in Jamie Graham, who is one of the finest, fantastic men coaches that Nashville, Tennessee has ever produced. He went to White's Creek, played at Vanderbilt. I think he might have played at UCLA to end out his career. He's outstanding. He's a class individual. He's fantastic. He's from the city. You know, and he went to Vandy. I mean, he's just a good man. Lipscomb did it right. They got a good coach over there now, and Jamie Graham, who's going to build a respectable, professional, fantastic high school program. And I look forward to seeing his success at Lipscomb.
Yeah, no, I agree with you and everything you just said on that. That a great hire. I think he's going to be awesome. And, you know, you and I, as you mentioned, high school football means so much to us that, you know, obviously you hear a lot of that flavor on the show, and we'll continue to do so. So good luck to him. We'll have some Cats flavor as we go along. We're finally up and running. Chasing Big Joe here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The Game, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. I'm at Lipscomb Academy today for Nashville Cats training camp. Big Joe back at the studio, and the Cats will open their season on Saturday at Municipal Auditorium, and we're excited now to have Dean Kokinos, the head coach of the Nashville Cats, on with us. And, Coach, thanks so much for doing this. It's good to see you.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here with you, and thanks for coming.
Well, and you and I were just talking during the break about the excitement around bringing this team back, bringing the Arena League back, and you being a part of that. But how difficult has it been to put a team together and scout a team that hadn't played? I mean, the Arena League's been gone. So what's this process been like?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's been really fast, right? Short window, short turn for us coming in the new year, getting this thing put together in under three months. But I think a credit to the way, you know, Coach Fisher and Nancy and Tamara, our owners, put this thing together. Hired really good people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I had the opportunity to hire some really good experienced coaches with us. Adam Shackelford, longtime arena guy. You know, we played together in a championship game years ago. And for us, it was just, you know, it was kind of like you just flip that switch and you just go back to do what you do. I haven't coached arena football in 5 years or more, since 2018. So, and just me and Adam just hit the ground. Coach Fisher had a few guys. I had a few guys. And we just, you know, put together a team real fast. And, you know, the goal was to build it inside out, have local, little local flavor, regional guys, whether they're born here, played here, high school or college, and expand out. You know, we had to get – the biggest challenge was finding players that played indoors. The Arena League's been gone. AFL has been gone, right? So, you know, IFL is this league called the IFL. So we went out and pretty much found the best players in that other league and got those guys to come here. Coach Shaq did a great job with that. And then we got a lot of guys trickling down from the NFL and just went through our normal process of finding, you know, we know how to find players, and we just did it faster this time. And we didn't waste time over-evaluating. We picked the guys we wanted and went and got them.
How cool has it been for you? You know what Jeff Fisher did around here, obviously, and then in the National Football League, being able to collaborate with him and, you know, lean on that experience. You obviously have the experience from the Arena League, but you two being able to work together to build this thing.
Yeah, no, Jeff's been awesome, man. That's, you know, I was done with Arena Ball. You know, I actually worked with the Titans as well, me and Pat Spruito, who's the coach here with the Cats originally, and we both did some personnel together and worked way under Jeff back then. Been around him, but when he came back, you know, we just got together for, you know, through third party. We met a few times, Jeff and I did, and some of the other people, and Greg Pogue, and just kind of showed me, you know, told me what he wanted to do here and build something for the community and put this thing together. And with his background of building teams, you know, NFL teams, and my experience in the Arena League, and Greg with the media. I mean, it's just like kind of a, you know, we're all kind of at the end of it, and we all got kind of thrown together. But just Jeff's the kingpin on this deal. Like, I think we're all here with him, And he kind of pulls us all together, and it's been great. And we have a lot of professional people here from the owners down. So it's been awesome working with Jeff.
Dean Kokinos is with us, head coach of the Nashville Cats. They'll open their season against Minnesota on Saturday at Municipal Auditorium. So Ramone Atkins, he's going to be the guy under center for you at the quarterback position. And we always talk about the quarterback, most important position on the team. How much does that differentiate, though, in the Arena League? Because you have a shorter field. You know, are you looking for long balls, athletic? Like, what set him apart from his competition?
Well, the biggest thing, he's played indoors. He's one of the IFL guys that we talked about, and he's, you know, he's had a great career over there. I think he was player of the year, rookie of the year, first team, all that stuff. And I've known his agent for many years, NFL agent, and he's talked about this kid for 2 or 3 years, trying to help him, you know, play in the XFL or another league. And I made some calls from over the years. So I always had him in the back of in my notebook, you know, if I was on a coach team somewhere again. And he's just a great guy first off the field. I think that was important to us. You know, he's a leader. He's a high-character guy. He's a super athlete. But he's been in the arena, and I think that's a big deal for us. In the arena game, you said it earlier, it's hard to come from the big field to the small field. The game changes tremendously. We had great quarterbacks here, Jeff Smoker, Clint Sterner.
Yeah.
You know, guys came off the big field, did well for us. We had a lot of other guys now that, you know, couldn't do it coming out of the NFL. And Ramone is just different because, you know, he's a big, strong guy. He can throw it. He can run it. He can sit in the pocket. He's very cerebral. He's a smart guy. He's a tough guy. He's everything you want in arena football quarterback. So right now, he's just got to learn the game a little bit. It's different than the IFL game. So he's doing right now. He's coming along pretty good.
How special is it to, you know, not only the Arena League itself, but to bring back the Cats name? Because the Cats, I remember going to Cats games growing up, and, you know, when they built Bridgestone, that was one of the first, you know, sporting events there, and it made us a major league city, of course, with the Predators and the Titans coming to town. But to be a part of bringing that brand, that name back in 2024, how special is that?
Yeah, it's really special. You know, I live here. I moved here in 2004 to come work with the Cats and the Titans, the second time now with Mr. Adams. And you probably remember the first time with Mark Bloom as the owner, and the only show in town back then.
That's
It was a big deal. And I think that's when the brand started, right? The first time Eddie Kaya was the head coach, Jay Gruden was the offensive coordinator, Pat Spudua was the defense coordinator. And I think that's where the stamp was made. And then the second time I was here with Mr. Adams, and Pat was the head coach.
Andy Kelly was the quarterback.
First time around. Andy, Corey Fleming, UT guys. And it really, that group of men that started this, it still resonates. You know, every now and then over the years, I've never left Nashville. It's my home. I've coached many other teams. And you come back, and if you wear a Cats t-shirt, you know, five, 6 years ago, we just said people remember the Cats.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a brand. It's got a special name. There's a special place in the community to be part of the Cats, and I'm really excited about that. I know Jeff is. We talked about that. You know, doing something back for our community in this organization with the Cats brand. It's going to be pretty cool.
And to play in a historic building like Municipal Auditorium, so many great concerts or sporting events or what have you. I mean, that just adds to it.
Amazing. It's unbelievable when you walk the halls of that place with the tickets and everybody's played there. And now what they've done, you know, our ownership, and now Chuck McDowell's with us, and really doing a lot of upgrades there. It's going to be a really cool place. You know, it's getting upgraded. We got a new field. We got new nets. We got new walls. Our new locker rooms are being rebuilt. The green room, the VIP room, and then you throw in the flavor of that historic building. Everybody's – it's a pretty cool place. So I can't think of a better place to play arena football than the Muni.
So with this league returning, you know, first 5 minutes of the game, do you feel like there's going to be a feeling out process with both teams of, even though you can practice everything all you want, but nothing can truly, you know, emulate what happens within a game. So what do you kind of look for in that first 5 minutes?
Yeah, no doubt. I think you said it when you started this conversation, we have no identity. We have no idea what we got, right? So we're throwing a bunch of guys never played together before. That's first. There's no carryover, you know. And guys, most of them never played arena ball. I think we were one or two guys. So there's always that wild card. Then you throw in first game of the year, you know, all the entertainment pieces going to be, then everybody's going to be amped up. Quarterbacks. Yeah. And I think the first 5 minutes might be a lot of fireworks early. We'll see. Or it might be sloppy. You just don't know, you know. And I think once things settle down, it'll turn into a good arena football game. But I think it's unexpected what's coming. But I know it's going to be a lot of excitement, a lot of noise going early, and so hopefully our guys just go out and play fast.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it and being partners and having you all on the radio as well, but going to be a lot of fun Saturday night.
Oh, it is, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Dean Conchino is with us, the head coach of the Nashville Cats, joining us here on the program. We'll have more from Lipscomb here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Well done, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday at Lipscomb Academy today. Nashville Cats having their training camp. Coach Jamie Graham just walked in from Lipscomb a few minutes ago, so good to see him as well, JoJo. But look, it's a really exciting time in Nashville. This is the most probably anticipated draft in the last few years for the Titans because they're picking at 7. You got the Predators in the playoffs playing game 2 tonight, and then they'll have 3 and 4 this weekend at Bridgestone Arena. So you know that'll be rocking. And then you got the return of the Nashville Cats. You got the marathon on the streets of Nashville this weekend. The Sounds are on the road. Nashville SC's got their season going. There is so much going on in our city right now from a sports standpoint, and it's a lot of fun.
It is fun, and it's exciting what's going on. You know, first of all, let's talk about the draft. I mean, the last thing that, you know, Rand Carthon and Callahan ever want to do again is draft in the top 20. That means if you're drafting after that, you're in the playoffs. You're doing well. I mean, you don't have to be up there for those reasons. So you look at that. That's going to be fun. And, of course, the Preds playing Friday and Sunday and the Cats on Saturday. But I got to tell you, I'm looking at Mel Kiper. He just released his big board. And he's not so much saying where players are going here and there, but his 7th best player on the board, Chaser. And a lot of you guys, I'm telling you, you don't want to draft this guy. And you all these Titans fans are like, let's get him. You guys are so in love now with Brock Bowers, it's almost comical. Stop. You don't have a left tackle. Stop.
You got to get a left tackle.
Yes.
Have you heard Jared tell the right tackle story?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's one of my favorites, and I remember it. So he and Floyd are starting the show, and they're at training camp, and Jared's kind of making, you know, conversation and never really worked with Floyd before, and it's – you know, it's all kind of beginning, and he goes, so Floyd, you know, what do you think, how do you think the Titans are going to be? And Floyd kind of pauses, and he looks at him and goes, we don't have a right tackle. And Jared goes, that's pretty important, huh? And Floyd goes, right tackle? Yeah, pretty important. And right now the answer is, we don't have a left or a right tackle.
Exactly.
Like that's basically where they're at. So, you know, and whether there's guys out there that are still in free agency, I mean, if they're still out there in free agency, that's not really what you want either. You know, so
no.
I'm with you. Go get just draft Joe Ault at 7 and call it a day.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, and Floyd knew more about football than we'll ever know in 57 lifetimes. And so there is that's a general manager who understands the importance of 5 guys up front. And look, Titans fans, you saw last year how bad they were. So why don't you – look, if you're at your house and your garage doesn't work, right, what do? Just go through – you know, your garage door doesn't open? What do? Just plow through your garage? No, you get it
you
fixed.
You probably would, yeah.
I have. So you get it fixed, and here's how you fix your offensive line, a major part of it. Just get your left tackle. Do not draft Brock Bowers. Just don't do it.
Not at seven.
Yeah, he's going to be gone, but he's sitting there at 7. You got Joe Ault and Brock Bowers. Don't take Brock Bowers. I'm telling you, you don't have a tackle. Solidify a critical part of your football team. Get it and move on. And I think Rand Carthon and Callahan, I think they know this.
Sure.
They don't know this. And look, if they take Brock Bowers over Joe Ault, there's a serious problem at St. Thomas Sports Park inside with management. I'm telling you right now. And you guys are like, well, Brock Bowers. Look, Brock Bowers is going to get to the next level. And, you know, yeah, there's some great people who, you know, guarded him in the SEC. But now he's got these professional guys who are getting paid a lot of money to guard him. It's not going to be the same that he did what he did at Georgia. So just get Joe Ault and let's be done with it. That's that simple.
Yeah, look, I have no doubt. Brock Bowers, I think, is going to have a pretty good NFL career. But you got to address your needs first. And unless they trade back and the tackle's not there and he's the best player available, you know, whether if they trade back to 10 or 11 or what have you, then okay, that's a different conversation. But it's got to be a really good trade, you know, for me to want to trade back. I don't know if you've seen this video, and it's probably been out there, but I just happened to stumble across it last night, of Monty Austenfort, who, of course, was here. Now he's the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, from last year, working the trade with the Houston Texans to move up to three. After the Texans had taken C.J. Stroud, Arizona, I guess, had the third – they had the third pick, and he's working the deal for them to move up. And then the next part of that is he works a deal for Arizona to move back up. It was really fascinating because I've never actually – I don't think I've ever really seen that before. Of he's working the phones, and he's like – he's calling one GM, and he goes, are you guys out? And he goes, well, you got to tell me. I got 5 minutes. Like, this is the offer. I told you I'm not taking that. Like it's that kind of back and forth. And then he's on the phone with, you know, Nick Cesario from Houston. He goes, okay, is that still what you're offering? All right, I'll call you back. And you know, and they're talking about it in the war room and everything. It was just really, really fascinating.
What was this? Where did you see this?
I think it was on Instagram that it was Schefter posted it.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out. Wait, hold on. So you're looking at – you weren't watching Cat Reels?
No, this was in between Cat Reels. Like, I was scrolling through, and there was some Cat Reels. There was a funny one with a dog. There was Monty Austenfort making a trade. And then there was an old sketch from Whose Line Anyway Is It Anyway that I don't think I can repeat on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're like two 15-year-old girls. We send – me, you, and Ricky, we all send reels to each other all day long. But you know what? It's fantastic.
No, it's awesome. And by the way, speaking of Joe Alt, I want to really push this out there. TD talked to him last week on the Talking with TD podcast. He's going to join Jared on Thursday before the draft.
TD is?
So, no, Joe Alt.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, so Joe Alt will be on with Jared draft day. So that'll be fantastic. And who knows, you know, maybe he'll be talking to the audience that he'll be spending a lot of time with. Starting Thursday night, you know, whenever he's picked, which would probably be, let's see, the draft starts at 7. I mean, pick 7 is probably going to be into the 7 o'clock hour, around 8 o'clock Thursday night.
Well, don't they all use every second? Don't they have 10 minutes?
Because they'll use every second of that. They want, well, the NFL probably tells them to because they want all the
right
pop and circumstance.
Remember the year, was it the Vikings that got skipped because they weren't ready and they got
they lost their pick, yeah.
That it just if that happened to the Titans, fire everybody. I'm Jared Stillman. Fire everybody over at St. Thomas Sports Park. If you can't get your pick in on time, fire everybody to do that. So, yeah,
I'll
be interested to see. And, you know, and again, I'll be sitting there. I've got to go to an event Thursday night, but I'll have my phone ready to go. And I just – I mean, don't make this hard. That's what she said. Just go out and draft. Just draft Joe Alt. Get it done. Look, I haven't been emotionally invested in a Tennessee Titans draft pick ever, right? Because I worked in television, and I just, you know, make your pick. But now I'm in radio, and I'm thinking, all right, I want to see this team do well, and by doing well, it's drafting Joe Alt. Just draft him. Don't make it so difficult for the rest of us. Don't.
So we say this is the most anticipated draft in a long time. When we come back, what is the most anticipated draft in Titans history? Just since they've – I mean, you can even count 97 since they got to Nashville. I mean, there's a few that come to mind, but